Ephesians 6 says our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual, and we are to stand firm. Welcome to The Invisible Realm with Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication, equipping you to be God's warriors for battle against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. You will learn to exercise authority from the position in Christ and to increase your faith so that you may fight not for victory, but from victory. This spiritual warfare training will give you the ability to stand firm and then to help others stand. Now, here's Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication.
Matthew 16, and in this chapter we see that Jesus calls his disciples together and he asks them this question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And in verse 15, he goes on to say, but who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you have loosed on earth shall have been bound or loosed in heaven. So we can see in this section that I just read, that verse 18, the Lord says, I will build my church. And here we see the word Peter. Upon this rock, Peter is the small rock. And our Lord is the big rock. See, we are living stones being fitted together into a holy temple where Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is that huge, big rock, the foundation stone. And we see here in that verse that the word ekklesia is used for the first time in the New Testament. Now, ekklesia, it means called out assembly or a called out congregation. Traditionally, we use that word for the word church. But ekklesia means called out assembly. So why is that important to know? Because today, due to the pandemic, that many of the churches, physical church buildings, are closing down. And I believe the Lord is really bringing us all to a fork in the road, a place of decision. I believe he's separating the wheat from the chaff and the sheep from the goats, because the Lord is preparing a bride. He's preparing a warrior bride. Our Lord wants to be married. He's yearning to be married to his very bride. And I believe that many of the church buildings are closing down because the Lord is calling out, a called out assembly. Living stones, not brick or mortar, living stones, so that he can build his church, where Christ is truly the head. Because I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Right now we see, it seems at least, that the enemy is just causing havoc with the churches and institutions throughout the United States. But because we are the living stones, we are the house of God, each individual member, it is a living organism. It's life. Because it's the very body of Christ, right? He is the head. We are the body. Each individual part. Living organism. He's calling them out from the organizations. Because the Lord is preparing a warrior bride. Now, how do we know that? Let's turn to Revelation 19. And in verses 7 through 9, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. So we see here that those who are dressed in fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints, and bright and clean is the wedding garment. It is the very bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see, if we continue reading, not only she's dressed in this fine linen, she is the bride of Christ, but let's read down further and let's go to verse 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see in verse 14 that the Lord's army, who he is leading for judgment and to wage war against the enemy, which they will utterly destroy, this army is clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We're following him on white horses. It's the same ones that wore the white linen or fine linen in verse 8 of chapter 19, the bride of Christ. So we see here the Lord is preparing a warrior bride. And this warrior bride, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the house of God, is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. So we see in these passages that this warrior bride is the wife of the Lamb, and it is also the armies that will be following our Lord into battle at the end of the age. And also, this warrior bride is also the city that comes out from heaven, who made ready as a bride adorned for her husband, the New Jerusalem. So I want to talk about three things today. In preparation of God's warrior bride, the first thing is a called out assembly. That is a living organism, the very body of Christ, where he is truly the head, because he builds his church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. That is, no manward, carnal way of man is involved in this. It is the very life source of Christ that builds his church. Two, I want to talk about kingdom on earth. The Lord wants to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and he has restored that, recovered that, by giving his church all authority now, because all authority has been given to Christ. And three, the Great Commission, and that is discipleship, discipling of nations. That is, catch a fish, feed him for a day. But you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. So the Lord is preparing a warrior bride. So number one, called out assembly. These are ones that are called out of the worldly ways and methods, out of man's way of building, out of traditional organized religion. The Lord is looking for a living organism, because that's the only thing that's going to be able to fight against the forces of evil through the power of the work of the cross of our Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. A called out assembly. Are we allowing Christ to gain in each and every one? Our Lord is that good seed that was planted within us. If you read 1 Corinthians 3:9, it talks about we are his fellow workers, God's cultivated land, God's building. It is the seed that has been planted in us. We are that cultivated field, that cultivated land. How are we going to allow the seed of Christ to grow within us, that it would flourish and produce fruit, that there will be a harvest, it would come into maturity? The Lord desires to gain in us through and through, that we would make more room in our heart for him, separate from the world and the ways we've done things in the past. The Lord is doing a fresh new work, and he's gathering a people, calling them out to meet simplistically, where truly Christ is the head. How does that look like? If we turn to 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 26, it says this. What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. When we gather together as the house of God, are we in an environment like they met house to house, the first Christians, and they met at the temple courts, where we can exercise our different gifts? Because here, I just read the verse, each one has a gift. How do we function? How do we allow those gifts to function in the very body of Christ, in his gathering places, where there are two or three gathered unto his name? What does it look like where Christ is truly the head, allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us, where he truly is that symphony conductor? We are each individual instrument, and he's tuning us until he hears music that is just perfect to his ears. What kind of music are we listening to? Are we listening to music that will stir us up, or are we waiting on the Lord, letting him tune us as instruments, so that out from us will come music that is pleasing to the Lord's ear? He is the symphony conductor. He's calling out a people, a called out assembly, a living organism, where truly he is now head, and truly the gates of Hades shall not prevail. You might want to ask yourself that question. How is it that the enemy seems that he's prevailing, with the churches being shut down? Well, you must ask yourself that question. What is the church? I shared that in a couple broadcasts before, but be reminded, we are that church. Ask the Lord, show us and make it practical, that each and every one of our gifts are expressed as we gather together, where Christ gets all the glory. 2, kingdom on earth. To take dominion, to subdue. So we see here that the warrior bride is to take dominion, subdue, to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. And let's turn to verse 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This word subdue in verse 28, it means to bring into bondage. That's right, to subdue. It's to bring into submission or subjection. It's to trample. It's to tread underfoot. Why is it the Lord saying subdue it? Because the enemy was already on the earth prior to man being created. And so here, the Lord, through the cross of our Lord Jesus and how he destroyed the works of the enemy through his crucifixion, nailing, dealing with the sin, the shame, the guilt, the power of sin, and the curse of sin, he nailed it to the cross. He was that once and for all sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And he was buried. And when he was buried, death could not hold such resurrection life that even his body could not undergo decay. Isn't that amazing? Satan had nothing on our Lord. And then he rose from the grave because death could not hold resurrection life. And out from resurrection life, he ascended far above all, seated at thy right hand. And now there is a man in the glory, a glorified man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who sits at the Father's right hand, far above all principality and rulers. Satan is far, far below him. All authority has been given to the Lord, and he's given it to the church. So we see here that he says, subdue it, bring the enemy into submission. He wants us to evict the squatters, as we see in Luke 11 20. If by the finger of God you cast out demons, the kingdom of God has come upon you. But we see also in verse 28 another word called rule over, or to take dominion. That is to dominate, have dominion over this earth. The Lord wants his kingdom on this earth. Are we allowing the Lord to prepare us to be that warrior bride? So we see that the Lord himself, he is calling us out as an assembly, as a congregation, from the things of the world, even worldly Christianity, because we're living stones, and he's bringing his kingdom on earth. And that is for us to take dominion and to subdue the enemy. And last of all, I want to talk about the Great Commission discipleship. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So the last one is the Great Commission is discipleship. And what I have found in visiting churches and talking to leaders there and pastors is that The challenge is a discipleship program. In many churches, they just have a difficult time with developing a discipleship program. And I kind of wonder why is that so? Because the Lord's called us to disciple the nations. Well, I think one of the reasons why is because that statement, it says, catch a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. I think the challenge is that if we do true discipleship, we are teaching people how to catch their own fish so that they would feed themselves for a lifetime. And I think the challenge happens when we desire to have them always depend upon us, the teacher or the pastor, so that we are the one only catching a fish and feeding him for a day. But that's not discipleship. True discipleship is teaching ones to come to the source. We're not the source. The leaders and the pastors aren't the source. The source is Christ. He is the teacher. If we lead people to Christ, we help teach through the power of the Holy Spirit, but the goal is that we would lead everyone to the one and true teacher, and that is Christ himself and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. But if we do that, there might be a threat that people will no longer depend upon us because now they know how to feed themselves. But don't we want ones to learn how to come to the living word, how to eat and drink of the living word? In John, when the Lord said to Peter, once you're converted, he said, feed my sheep. Our Lord is the tree of life. He is food to our soul. He's the bread of life that came out of heaven. The Great Commission is to make disciples. And discipleship, for some reason, is very, very difficult for institutional churches today, because what are you discipling them to? Is it discipling them to a ministry, or is it discipling them for the building and the edification of the church? So we see that God is preparing a warrior bride that's going to be married and is going to be the wife of the Lamb. That is washing her robes, growing and maturing. At the same time, this bride will be God's warrior. They are the armies of the living God. They will be the armies that follow the Lord in the day of battle to destroy all the negative things, everything that goes against God, Satan, everything once and for all. So he would have his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we see God is calling out an assembly, a living organism out from organizations, because we are the living stones. He's raising them up. He desires too a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, that we would exercise our authority to take dominion of this earth and to subdue the enemy. And last of all, that we would make disciples, the Great Commission. Catch a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, feed him for a lifetime.
We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world, and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. The good news is that we can put on the whole armor of God to resist evil and to stand. Are you standing firm? This spiritual warfare training on the invisible realm from discipleship duplication will help you clearly understand the unseen realm and the battle you face so you can fight from a position of victory. Troy Albano has a deep awakening to the spiritual realm and learn the authority that we have over demonic forces. He shares personal testimonies and he equips you to be awakened, aware, and to overcome in the battle. Visit discipleshipduplication.com to learn about his 7 spiritual principles of warfare so that you may stand firm. tune in next week at this time to be further strengthened. DiscipleshipDuplication.com. Christ is victor.